Hebrews chapter 10. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Take your Bible and thank God that you have a Bible. Please don't underestimate the Bible. The rich man in hell said, if you'd send back somebody from the dead, they'd believe. And the Lord said, if they won't believe what Moses wrote, y'all ain't helping me. They have Moses and his writings. If they won't believe what we wrote, they won't believe though one resurrected from the dead. Don't underestimate the Bible. He did resurrect from the dead. They still didn't believe.
Come on.
Try this one on for size. He met special ones up on the mountain where he had appointed after his resurrection. And the Bible said, and some doubted. I need all of you full-time men of God to quit beating yourself up because you can't somehow be successful with people. Some of his own were looking at him and didn't believe. This is not on you. It's not on you to persuade them. They looked at the resurrected Savior. By the way, at a mountaintop meeting, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. If they wouldn't be convinced while they're looking at him, don't feel like you're a failure, preachers, because you can't persuade them. I'll tell you what a man's going to do. A man's going to make a choice of what he wants to do. Yes, he is. Men love darkness rather than light. But if he'll respond to that light, there's always going to be more light. Till you're fully lit. I enjoyed hearing from Brother Lamance and Brother Derryberry how fitting in this meeting for it to end. Brother Lamance looked at them, 144,000, nearly became a JW, but he kept reading. I'm glad he kept reading. Yes. Yeah. I'm glad you kept reading and found yourself over there in that great multitude. Talking last night about what old John saw. And I heard one of the old time preachers say, John saw me waving. Y'all are slow, you know. John saw me waving. He looked in that crowd out yonder. John done seen me waving. Bless the Lord. Hebrews and the 10th chapter. There are some flyers back there on the table. We'll pass them out if we need to. Brother Danny Markell is here. And in about another Saturday, he's preaching our second youth rally at Taylor's Ridge in Ringo, Georgia. May the 2nd, 5 o'clock. And y'all, come on, it's our second. We're having a youth rally every other month, all year, and pretty sure next year also. And our little country church building up in Ringgold. And Brother Kenneth, just run on up, and then you can get on back to South Florida by your Sunday night service. But I want to invite y'all, bring the boys. Brother, and if you're able to come. Every other month, y'all keep an eye out for it. I preach against Facebook until I need it. And so, just keep an eye out. And I'm an independent Baptist. I have so many standards, sometimes I have double standards. They're just right next to each other. I got caught in one spot and I had triple standards. Believe three different things on the same day. Hebrews and the 10th chapter. Before I read the text, it'd be appropriate, and I know I speak on behalf of so many guests because I've heard them all week long. Lighthouse Baptist Church, we want to thank you. Amen. For your labor, your sweat and your tears, your tithe, your offerings and sacrifices, your gifts. And there is a deep well that's been springing here for many years. And this is one well that the Philistines are going to try to stop it with earth. But it's on you for that not to happen. And it's on y'all for that not to happen. Quit hanging around Philistines and taking part of their dirt, and maybe you won't fill it with earth. And we want to thank you, church, for that old-timey spirit of love. Not the effeminate, flaky love that the contemporaries fake. And not a manufactured love that you get from the hostess at Cracker Barrel or Longhorn. They're being nice because they want your money. But that old-time love of God is the most powerful force. It's the most powerful force on the face of the earth is that old-time love of God, stronger than death, the last chapter of Solomon said. And we want to thank you, Lighthouse Baptist, and thank y'all for the meeting. I've already heard from pastors who were here Monday and Tuesday, and I really did. I heard from them after their Wednesday night service, and more than one and more than two said, what God poured into us, it overflowed. And it's been reported that churches are already in a new revival from this meeting. And it ain't even over. What about that? What about that? If I'd have known all them Aver girls that have been back, I'd have brought your brother, Kendall. Hebrews. There are other fellers here. There's just a lot of them. Hebrews and the 10th chapter. Appreciate Kendall Bell being with me. She's the real Christian and the evangelist. She drove me here. I take her to her appointments now. Hebrews 10. Lord, we want to thank you for being so good to us. Lord, breathe on thy servant. No man alive can preach, not truly preach, without the power of God. I felt the responsibility tonight, Lord, heavy, to lift up Christ. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lord, we believe that tonight. Lord, you've arranged everything. You've arranged all this. You've arranged this service tonight. Lord, you let the singers lift Christ up high. Now, Lord, let the preaching lift him up high. Blinders on my eyes, burnings in my heart. Put a safeguard around my lips and foolish tongue. And help me, O Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name, and all the Lord's people said. Amen. Hebrews 10, I want to preach a little while tonight on full assurance. And I'm feeling pretty good about it too. Full assurance. Maybe a new Christian here would be almost criminal not to point them to chapter 9, verse 12. Underline it, new Christian. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once. That's why we're a once business outfit. He died once. He rose once. He saved me once. He'll never have to do none of that again. He'll never have to do none of that again. Once. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I'm in verse 10, and I got to read verse 11 just so we can read verse 12. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering. By the way, you ought to love the book of Hebrews. Romans tells all them old Gentile dogs how salvation works. Hebrews tells all them Jews how salvation works. Same salvation, both books. Offering oftentimes, and by the way, in case you're a hyper dispensationalist, Hebrews is not just for the tribulation, probably not even halfway for the tribulation. Hebrews was written 2,000 years ago. And it's for the church. I wouldn't doubt if them 144,000 Jews done some preaching out of Hebrews in the tribulation. But it's for the whole church age. Verse 11. The same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man... That's what makes us different than all the other religious bodies in the world. Oh, they have a plan, but we have a man. We're the only ones. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. I heard Sister Tanya sing it tonight, forever. Sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. That's the second coming, y'all. Verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It's already happened, y'all. I'm trying not to get sidetracked, but there ain't no wrong tracks wrong in this piece of Scripture. Do you see your head? I didn't read Hebrews 10, 1 and 2. Ing, ing, offering, failing, returning, ministering. Ing, ing, ing. Old Testament. But Jesus divided two worlds when He went out into 3 hours of darkness. He put Ing in a headlock and drug him off into 3 hours of darkness. All of my sinning and transgressing and lying and fearing and breaking covenants. And when He came out of the 3 hours of darkness, what would you have done if He still had Ing? It is finishing! You'd be no better than a Muslim. You'd be no better than a Catholic. You'd be no better than a Buddhist. You'd be no better than a Hollywood pagan. But He killed Ing out there somewhere. And He came back with Ed. Put a fork in it. It's done. Perfect Ed. Sanctify Ed. Romans 8, glorify Ed, predestinate Ed, conform Ed, already glorify Ed. resurrected. Let's hear from Ephesians 1 and 2. Accepted in the beloved, saved, quickened. What are y'all, Presbyterians? You ain't helping me. Let's run to Revelation where John saw me waving unto him that loved us and washed us. J. Harold Smith said, notice he loved us even before he washed us. I've been sealed. I've been perfected. I've been seated in heavenly places. I've never done that before. I don't know why I'm doing that, but that's pretty good right there. Woo! Whoa! Ed. Amen. Perfected. You say, how is all that stuff already done? Because where he is, you are, and it's already over with over there. God ain't in time. God's in eternity. It's where your salvation is, where you are. Right now, he's over yonder. Where is he at in time? Anywhere you want to look at it. Time sits before God like a capsule. Go to the beginning and he's there because he is the beginning. Go to the end and he's already there. If you get over there, it's already done. If you get over there, you can watch it all start. Known by God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And if you want it, if you show up anywhere in the middle, he's always been there. I don't know how to explain this. You ain't got to understand the gospel. You just got to stand under the gospel. Quit trying to understand it and stand under it. It's bigger. You'll never wrap your mind around it. Just wrap your heart around it. When you met Jesus at Calvary, y'all met at the same time. When you went there, he met you there. When he went there, he saw me there, kneeling there as a little 9-year-old boy. Well, how could there be 2,000 year difference in me? It was an eternal event. It was an eternal moment. He traveled into time. I went back to time. Them Old Testament boys run up in time. That's why you can't lose your salvation. It ain't in this world. It happened in another world. Right now, over yonder, I am already in Christ. Right now, down here, Christ is in me. One of these worlds is coming to an end. Guess which one ain't? That one ain't. He's going to blow a trumpet and he's going to shout and we're going to leave this world and go to there. And when I get there, I'll have to stand up and move over just so I can sit down. I'll be beside myself. Keeping it. Just keep him. Now. My little foot swore out. Now. I just had to stop and show you Ed for a minute. It's already done. What verse was we in? 14. For by one offering he hath perfect Ed. Forever, them that are sanctified. Sanctified simply means set aside and made holy. It's what he done when he saved you. Verse 15. Now I do understand very quickly for a new Christian, there is a perfect sanctification. There is a progressive sanctification. There is a positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. You can't never be more saved than you already are right now. Amen. Progressive sanctification. Down here, the Holy Ghost is making me look like Him and act like Him more and more every day. Perfect sanctification. When the trumpet blows, laying aside and change our vile body. Amen. Where's Sam? I lost you, Sam. Raise your hand. Oh, you did move on me. And I don't know how many times in the midnight hour, I don't know how many times the last 20 years, I'd plug in that song that you and your brother sang. as you sang with the singer. I don't know how many times Brother Milton Taylor poured that into you boys. And when Ricky wrote that song, I am not what I am, but I'm already what I'm going to be. There's three young singers across this country for him have learned that just for me. I've asked them to, so that when we're in meetings, they can sing it. I am not what I am, but I'm already what I'm going to be. Amen. Amen. Leave me alone. That's another sermon. What are y'all doing? Now I'm in verse 15. Here comes our assurance. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. And verse 16, this is the covenant. What about that? He gave us His Spirit and He gave us His sworn covenant. Now, I'm reading on. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Brother Anderson, I need the watch right here. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I need to point out, y'all got time on a Friday night. Thursday night, you got time on a Thursday night. Look at just a thing for just a second. 6:10. Hurry, look at it. Leave a finger here. Don't detach it. Just leave it here. Leave a finger in chapter 10. Look at 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget. And in the last part of 8, says the same thing this verse says here. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Two of the most gracious, most merciful, most great promises that ever came with Calvary's covenant is what He promised to never forget and what He promised to never remember. He said, I'm never going to forget whatever you did for me. And I'm never going to remember what you did to me. He said, I'm never going to forget your service. And I'm never going to remember your sin. Y'all ain't helping me. That's two of the greatest promises. Many of you have been serving the Lord for decades, and I promise you, you've already forgot most of what you did for Him. But He has not. Oh, a cup of water in His name. Oh, He swore that. I'll never remember your sins. I'll never forget your service. Amen. Okay, leave me alone. I'm trying to get to my text. That's verse 17. Now I'm in 10:18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. By the way, let me deal with something real quickly right there. See verse 26? For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What is that willful sin? It's verse 25. Forsaking the assembling. That don't mean missing a church service because you backslid. I highly recommend faithfulness to the house of God. But forsaking the assembling is a complete apostasy. And I'm sorry, all the pastors threatened everybody for 100 years, don't you skip church because of Hebrews 10:25. It's a good principle, but the wrong scripture. That forsaking is apostasy. He's talking to all the Jews that had one foot on the door and kept looking back. And he said, if you ever turn away from the Lamb of God, if you turn your back on Calvary and go back to your old religious system, there is no other sacrifice for sins. That stuff ain't going to work. There's only one that works. It's the Lamb of God. And anybody that walks away from Jesus, there ain't no other sacrifices out there going to get the job done. People run to Matthew and the first half of Acts and Hebrews to lose their salvation. The bad doctrine that came from the Wesleyan, Methodist, Holiness, Then they became Pentecostals and they became Charismatics. And they came from the Roman Catholic Church. And the Wesleyan Methodist Holiness of the late 1800s was trying to find something in the Spirit that they already had in the Son. They were trying to achieve sinless perfection on earth when you didn't need it. You already got sinless perfection in eternity. And they're looking for something in a second work of the Spirit that we already had in the finished work of the Son. And the only reason they get it, the only verses they can cherry pick, twist, and slightly get way off is in the scriptures that are addressed to the Jews of the first century. Matthew, kingdom being offered to the king. The warnings there are national, and they're for Israel. And the first half of Acts, the warnings there are for Peter's preaching to Jerusalem. And there is an ultimate rejection when they stoned Stephen. And God went in the next chapter and started saying all the half-born Samaritans. And He saved a black man. And then He saved a Jew man and made him go get all the rest of us Gentile dogs. Y'all ain't helping me. Save Paul in 9, said we're going after Gentiles. Dropped a net on Peter in chapter 10 and said we're fixing to go get in the middle of some unclean stuff. But we're going to get them to God. Amen. You be careful about rightly dividing the word of truth. Everybody in the world goes to chapter 6 of Hebrews to try to lose their salvation. But they quit reading at verse 10. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. And the end 6, with which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered. Leave me alone. I'm trying to get out of my introduction. I'm now down there in verse 19. Here it comes. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. To enter into the holiest. By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Y'all know when that spear ripped His side open, that was the veil. That's where all of Him came out and all of us went in. Y'all are not helping me. That's where we came out. His blood and water. That's where the bride came out of the side of the first Adam and the second Adam. His blood and water came out, and there was a way for me to go in. My old deacons here, Brother Dismuke, stand for just a moment so they can hug your neck after the service. It's my old deacon. Brother John, stand up. There's another godly old, the pillar of this church. Thank God. Look at these men of God. Thank you, men. Thank you, brother. Thank you. And Brother Joe told me years ago, I was a 20-something-year-old boy and his pastor. And we fellowship and sat in heavenly places. And he said, we was talking that, you remember that time you told me about Thomas? He wasn't there when everybody saw him, but he showed up later. And the Lord said, reach into thy hand into my side. And Brother Joe's told me, he carried me a little further. Aren't you glad for those Aquilas and Priscillas who could take a young preacher and show him the way of God more perfectly? Who, Apollos, what was it? Is it Apollos? Yeah, Apollos. He was fervent in the Spirit and eloquent and waxed mighty in the Scriptures and had favor with the people. But thank God there were two old saints said, boy, you don't know everything. You don't even know half of everything. And they showed him the way of God more perfectly. I've had men like that in my life. When I hug old Brother John every year for 20 years, I feel like I'm hugging Joe Parsons. He don't say nothing but howdy and I love you. And I walk away with a truckload of wisdom and a truckload of unction. Well, he said, what do you think Thomas did when he reached his... Well, I'd never went inside. I just stopped there at him reaching his hand. So Tony stuck his hand right up in there and felt the heart of God. Y'all ain't helping me. Reached up there and felt the heart of God. You know, Miss Kyla Rowland, good night alive, what song she wrote for us. And I love that when it can't find a way, there is no way, He makes a way. What song is that? Y'all know what I'm thinking. He makes a way. Well, somebody help me. Did I mention that I love Him? It was there. I didn't need you to bump it out. I love that line. And make a way. He makes a way. And all the carnal people think about their job and their transmission and their inheritance. I never think about that stuff. I think about that opening in His side. He made a way. He made a way. For me to get in the body. For the bride to come out of the body. For the blood to come out. And for me to get tucked up in the body of Christ and in the heart of God. Americans are carnal and shallow and everything's your money because the love of money is the root of all evil. How come your prayer is all about your bills? How come your testimony is all about your body parts? You read Ephesians 1 and 3 sometime, two most spiritual prayers in the New Testament. He had all kind of body problems. He didn't mention theirs or His. Y'all ain't helping me. Did He have money issues? Yeah, He didn't have none. Ain't no praying for money and for sickness in them spiritual prayers. Boy, you Americans have went quiet on me. Dear time. And by the way, some of y'all to give nonstop prayer requests, and we know you don't mean it when you say it. I work with a woman, and she knows another woman over there lives next to an old woman, and a branch fell and hit the front of her car. That got that one. Y'all pray for them. No, I will not. No, I won't. God meant for the branch to hit the woman's head. She just dodged at the last minute. I ain't praying for that silly third level woman somewhere in Arkansas. Do you know if you ever actually gave your prayers to God, you wouldn't give them to us? You confessing your unbelief what you're doing. Telling Him wasn't enough, you had to tell all of us. Leave me alone. Look at here. Having therefore brethren, where was it? Through the veil. Thank God He made a way through the veil. Verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. That was language that them Hebrews would understand, live their whole life with the outward cleansing ordinances that came with the Levitical law. Verse 23, please look at it. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Now, I want to give you three things about full assurance. Three things. That was my introduction. I enjoy my introduction every night somewhere because I have no idea what's in it, and it always helps me. Three things about full assurance of your salvation. When it comes to you being saved, the Lord wants you to have brethren boldness. Brethren, boldness. And He wants you to have full assurance. And He don't want you to waver. Hold fast to profession. Without wavering. I want to say three things, and I'm done. Number one, when you consider your salvation, I want you to understand, number one, write these little three thoughts down. It's not the method of your coming that saved you. It's not the method of your coming. You know what'll get somebody saved? If they'll come to Christ. Somebody wants to get theological and technical. Doesn't it have to be in faith and repentance? Sure it does. But the person doing it don't have to be able to explain it. Need a little help. Preacher, did I come to the Lord in faith? Did you come to Him? You must have thought He was there. Come on, people. I'm not sure I repented. Did you come to Him? The only way you ever go to Him is turn your back on everything else. Amen. Yeah, you're right. Amen. Ain't nobody ever come to Him holding on to everything else. Amen. Y'all ain't helping me. Amen. If you came to Him, you walked away from everything because He ain't with everything. He's over there. Yeah. If you came to Him, you done turned away and turned towards. Y'all ain't helping me. Whoa. You get saved by coming. Amen. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto Christ. Chapter 10, verse 1. I've lost Brother Ricky Burnett. Everybody up here took our seats. Brother Burnett, 10:1. Read that. The comers. Guess what comers become in the next verse? One verse, Sam. If you come in verse 1 and the next verse, you'll be a worse person. And it said, once purged. Once purged. If you've been raised around bad doctrine, and I'm sure they were good people. Listen, that Methodist and Pentecostals, one of my best friends was a Church of God preacher. I didn't say they were bad people, though they are. Because we're all bad people. Don't try to tell me, well, those are good people. There ain't none of them on this earth. Oh, dear neighbor. But them comers instantly become worshipers. There cometh to Him a leper saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Where do you think all the other lepers started coming? They heard that one came and he got healed, and here the rest of them come. A blind man, y'all ain't helping me. Oh, you get saved by coming to Christ. It's not the method of you coming. It's not the method of you coming. I want you to, let's talk about what came up here maybe Tuesday night. Luke 14. Go out in the four angles. Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Did you get saved because somebody compels you? Second angle is in Luke 15. There is a lost sheep in the wilderness, and a shepherd went to where he was. When that little sheep couldn't come to him, he came to where he was. Yeah, Jesus went and found him. And then you got the father at the end of the thing. He didn't go after nobody. He sat at the house and waited on the old boy to come to himself and then to come to his house. Y'all ain't helping me. And in that middle one there was a church kid or a church deacon or a church member already in the house but covered in dirt in a corner. And somebody swept the house and somebody lit a candle. Thank God for people that are willing to have a cleaning up revival and have a candle burning revival. They'll clean the house up and set a fire going. And then there'll be those in the... And there's all kinds of ways that people can come. Don't worry about how you came or how your brother came. Just be glad both of you came. Amen. Amen. It's not the method of your coming. Number two, and I've only got 3 points. What do y'all think about that? Got a title, full of shirt, and 3 points. and they're alliterated. That's like once in a blue moon. Not the method of your coming. Number two, when you think about the full assurance of your salvation, it's not the measure of your conviction. A lot of boys run around measuring, they got a conviction meter. And if yours didn't go high enough, they're not going to let you be saved. Old Tony Hudson, he's crazy, but I love to hear, especially when he gets on the old boys. Isn't it great right there? Told me, being Curtis Hudson's son, that great sword of the Lord, worldwide evangelist that followed John R. Rice. Y'all know Curtis Hudson was a primitive Baptist preacher in Atlanta, Georgia, when he was a postman. And they all gathered around the oak tree and ba-ding, amen. That was the deacons. Amen. And he hacked when he preached. Can you believe Curtis Hudson hacked when he preached? I've heard the tapes from the 60s. Amen. Some of these Yankees don't know what hacking is. It's what my papa did. That take your Bible today and go to the book of John. And over there we're going to read. And then they're beginning with the word. And they get to where there's more hacking than anything. They got wound up, it was 4 hacks and 1 word. It starts with 4 words and 1 hack, but it'll go to 4 hacks and 1 word. And somebody said, do you know what he's saying? I said, no, but I know what he's meaning. Woo! Somebody criticized them old timey country preachers. They had so much Holy Ghost they couldn't hardly breathe, is what it was. And somebody said, I don't understand what he's saying. I said, I've heard your preacher 10 times, 2 hours each, and I heard everything you said, and I have no idea what he meant. Oh, dear time. And Curtis Hudson over there, and Tony Hudson said, I was under conviction for about 10 years. And I said, that's funny, I was under conviction for about 10 seconds. He fingered around my little heart. I headed straight to the altar. Everybody turn to Acts 9 and Acts 16. Hurry! Acts 9. Acts 16. You're going to have to find the verses for me. I got a new Bible. I don't have it marked. In Acts 9, God saved Paul. Saul of Tarsus. Somebody find me said that the heavens, a voice from the heavens. Paul, Paul, there is a voice. Another scripture said it was a thunder. Jesus looking in from another world. I preached for years that God knocked him off his donkey until somebody messed up my sermon and showed me that wasn't in there. But I like it being in there. It's probably got knocked off a donkey. But he definitely got knocked to the earth. When Paul got saved, the heavens opened. The heathen heard thunder, but he heard the voice of the Lord. By the way, that's what the rapture's going to sound like. It's where the church age got good and started, and that's how it's going to get good and ended. We're going to hear a voice. They're going to hear a thunder. Y'all ain't helping me. And the heavens opened. Acts 16. Lydia got saved. Find me the verse where it said, whose heart the Lord opened. Verse 14. Do y'all see it? Whose heart the Lord opened. I want to say something to y'all. I don't care if it took the heavens opening and a voice from Jesus. Or if there was just a little opening in your heart. Now, Brother Aaron Wilson, our original missionary to Albania, still where God called him. Brother Aaron took me there 3 years ago. And we went through that in Macedonia. We walked through Acts 16. We crossed over the border, and Brother Aaron took me all the way through Acts 16. We went to Philippi. Brother David, we stood in the jail where Paul and Silas, and we sang Victory in Jesus. I got there before they did, and I slipped under a rope I wasn't supposed to be. And the archaeologists were digging up a grave, and they were shooing everybody out. And the guy tried to shoot me out, and I shoot him. I acted like I was in trouble. I said, "Not sure. Said as usual." And I said, "You dead? Keep digging." "Oh, yes, sir." And I stood there like I was over the thing. "Yeah, stay on that side over there. We're digging something over here." I down there looking at that thing. I've learned overseas that they shoo-shoo you. You can shoo-shoo-shoo them tripling, and then they're like, "Oh, yes, sir." Anyway, I was helping digging up bones. Did I ever tell you I was an archaeologist? Ha! For a day in Acts 16. Very cool. Then they all caught up. And Brother Aaron then took us to the little baptistry pool on the little stream where Lydia got saved. It's right there. They've known clearly where it, there's a lot of things over there the Catholics set up, and you can't rely on the credibility. But this is the only place it could have been, the only place it would have been. It was the place. Could you imagine that day? And some of y'all, because it didn't thunder and it didn't lighten, and you wasn't hell's angels in death row, and an angel appeared and knocked over a pile of pots and pans, and your grandma sent a cake with a prayer in it. Lydia was reclining on the grassy banks where the women were wont to pray. She's reclining, and some preachers came by. I don't even think she got up, brother. They spoke. When they walked up, she was lost. When they walked away, I don't even think she had changed elbows. They walked up, she was lost. They walked away, she is saved. Whose heart the Lord opened. And he stepped in. I got a whole message I preach on open heavens or open hearts. Who cares? Come on. Amen. Amen. The same God. The same blood. The same salvation. The same glorious destiny. I'll tell you how my daddy got saved. And it's a long story. I'm not even going to take the time to tell all of it. His daddy was a drunkard and a bad one and a sorry one. And died that way. My daddy was becoming a hell raiser. And a brawler. And drinking. And blaspheming. And the things that come with that, and lifestyle choices that we're ashamed of the rest of our life, stuff that we hope our children never hear about. And that's where sin was taking him. He's coming back from Germany and got both sides of his jaw busted, lead pipes, fought a whole gang out in the alley. He'd made them mad in the bar, and the Germans tried to kill him. He cheated death about three times. Got an honorable discharge, came back. But on the way back, he had a praying mama and he had a praying grandma. And them prayers wasn't going to let him turn into his daddy. Them prayers was going to turn him to his father. I was yet in the loins. Oh, Hebrews 7 means something to me. While he was yet in the loins, his Abraham met Melchizedek. But Levi got all the benefits of that transaction. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. He come up out of the bottom of that ship carrying about 3,000 men and an old black boy, a soldier. They made fun of him the whole time, called him a holy Joe, called him bad names, called him preacher man. Early that morning, as they were going to be pulling into America, Dad got up and come up early up them steps. And old black boy's up there by himself. standing over the guard, the deck rail. He had a little Bible up in his hand, had his other one up in the hand. And all alone, he was talking to God. And Daddy said he stopped on them steps and said it nearly killed him. It run through him like lightning for some reason. And he went back down the stairs trembling. God started to worry. He got back and his best friend had got saved. Went to church with him one time and he tithed. And my dad will tell you, tithing put him under mortgage. He couldn't believe the man was tithing. Talked to him about it. He said, I give my money to God now. And that tore Dad slam up. I tell it like, I never heard my dad tell it in church but once. He didn't want people to be confused thinking that something dramatic had to happen. He wouldn't tell this. He'd tell it in private a few times. He wouldn't tell it in public. And I'm glad he wasn't making merchandise out of his testimony. But I'm glad he wasn't turning his testimony into something you could sell and barter with. His social media spotlight stuff, giving everybody a platform. God's taking inventory. I personally believe all the social media is a trap set by God. Somebody said it's a trap set by God. It's a trap set by God. He's taking a deposition. We're all fixing to go to court. He's getting everything you ever wanted to say and everything you ever wanted to be approved of. He's getting it on record. All that stuff you say, and then all that stuff you like, he's keeping a record. I stay off of it. I got nothing to say or like. Called into judgment. Here's the way I tell it. In 66, Dad was driving a 62, doing 85 on 41. 1966, he's driving a 62 Chevelle on a Thursday night, doing 85 mile an hour on Highway 41. And God stepped in the car. That's the only explanation we have for you. Yeah. Hanley Milby would say he got arrested by the High Sheriff of Heaven. And then he'd preach on wolves. Because there's a lot around. I didn't mean to be staring at you, sir. Maybe him. I don't know who. Oh, my. God stepped in that vehicle. And my daddy thought God had come to kill him. He didn't know about being saved. In Dad's mind, if you had shoes and a daddy when you was growing up, you had a house. And all the people that were already living in kind of a heaven were going. If you didn't have a daddy and you didn't have shoes, and I'm sorry, but if you're already living in hell, all of us are going to hell. All of those that are already living in it, we're going. And he just thought God came to kill him, David. He just thought God came to kill him. And my daddy sat there and trembled. You say, what had happened? God stepped in the car. He slid off the road and stopped. And he trembled. He said, Lord, if you'll let me live till Sunday, I'll go to church with Mama. It's only the religious thing he could come up with. I'll go to church with Mama. And lightning flashed. So that sheet lightning, and it held a while. And the bridge, from me to Tim or Josh, the bridge had washed out earlier and was gone. God stopped him. I was born in 69. This was in 66. I said, well, I was yet in the loins. And my grandma said from Thursday to Sunday, he couldn't drink coffee. He couldn't open a letter. Y'all ain't helping me. And he went to church with Mama. And he sat on the back on the inside corner. Brother Roy Gentry Pastored that thing 55 years. Dogwood Valley Baptist Church, Tunnel Hill, Georgia. I'm glad for churches that have Wednesday night service and call people's names out. When names... That's the kind of prayer request I can get on board. Fix your own transmission. But if you want to talk about somebody, y'all pray for my sister's boy. He's over there and he's never been saved. We can talk right there. I don't have to know them to pray. Oh, we'll pray for them. But the gentry said, we're glad to have the preacher. And I'm sorry. The soldier boy. Back from Germany. I want all the little children to come and sing. And you know what they sang? Jesus loves me. This I know. And Dad couldn't believe it. He said it went through him like lightning. There's a lot of lightning in his story. He wouldn't tell it. He was against being sensational. He said it went through me like a hot arrow. Well, that was his word. He said, I sit there, I didn't know that Jesus loved me. And Brother Gentry preached about 15 minutes and then he gave an altar call and it went like this. Junior! 400 people sitting there. Get out of your pew, son. Get on this altar and let God save you before he kills you. And then he tried, but he couldn't. He took one step and collapsed. That conviction was he collapsed and he couldn't. Took one step and fell out. And an old deacon and his best friend come back and hooked an arm each under an armpit. Each one of them. And they drug my dad, his toes dragging. They drug him and laid him on the altar. And Dad said he coughed up demons and depravities and darkness until it was all gone. My daddy said when he turned around, it must be what a newborn baby feels like in the hospital when all the family and all the loved ones and they're all gathered around to hold the baby and pet the baby and woo at the baby. Isn't Big Jim a mess? Showed me his grandbaby 10 times. I never even asked to see it, and he kept showing it to me. Everybody oohing and gooing. And then he said they thought they would hate him and despise him. He just remembered being the barefoot drunkard's son when everybody knew who the drunkard was. Daddy cut yard with a mower that he bargained with the man down there and put it on credit and 9-year-old cutting grass to buy his first pair of shoes. Brother Robbie. And the daddy saw him and took him and pawned him for a bottle of whiskey. Took another 6 months to get a pair of shoes. These were the people that he was ashamed of in front of. And when he turned around and looked at them, he said, I wasn't ashamed. And they weren't ashamed. Amen. Whosoever believeth on me shall not be ashamed. Amen. Oh, that's how my daddy got saved. Acts 9. The heavens literally open. Let me tell you how I got saved. Don't blink. Let me tell you how I got saved. Don't run outside for a minute. You'll miss it. Here's how I got. You ready? Here's how I got saved. My daddy got saved. And I was on the front row in church. And then I got saved. Abraham's story goes from Genesis 12 to 25. Isaac has one chapter. 26. How long did it take me to tell you my daddy's salvation testimony? How long did it take y'all to hear mine? Guess what? The same blood. Washed the same sin. Moved in the same Holy Spirit. Guaranteed the same home in glory. Got all the same blessings and privileges. Who cares if the heavens opened or the heart opened? Just be glad that he got in there. It's not the method of your coming. Not everybody was raised with hell's angels. Some of us were raised with heaven's angels. Here's the third, and I'm done. It's not the method of your coming. It's not the measure of your conviction. And Brother Joe, I got to tell him another one you gave me. Before I go to that third one, I got to tell him this other. You remember that Saturday night prayer meeting out on Highway 301, setting up the tent? 40 men praying out in the open field next to four-lane highway. Several of the men laying in that middle of the four lanes. You remember Ben Harold get over there and Bruce Maddox get over there and the Knox boys and your boy. They'd be praying. I don't know how we never got in trouble with the law on that one. Those men are not foolish and not crazy. Praying in power. There's 30 of us over there in the open field. Brother Joe elbowed me. I was praying next to him, see. We've done that for a decade. You got anybody you pray next to? You better have. They'll keep you from falling over. By the way, me and him still together here tonight. I was 22, 23. I'm 56. And I hadn't traded the old crowd in for a new crowd. Brother Joe elbowed me, Brother Dismuke, doing his Holy Ghost giggle. Ooh, you see that, boy? Pointed in the wood. I lied initially. I said, yes, sir. And I realized I had no idea. And I said, not really. Thought we were looking at something. I said, no, what? What am I looking at, Brother Joe? He said, you don't see it? I decided not to lie this time. No, sir, I don't see it. He said, you don't see that little pine in the middle of all them other pines? And it's the only one moving? He said, my daddy showed me that in them South Georgia pines. Sometimes there's one little breeze and it'll only move one. I saw it then. And it was later, a couple of years later, what hurricane came through and wiped out the middle of Florida? Was that Hugo? Tim, you remember that back in Florida? You'd have been a boy. It moved through the middle of the state and smashed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of trees. And here's what I thought about. Whether a great revival came through and saved half the country, or whether one breeze hit one little boy on the front row. I was the only one moved that night, but it moved me to Christ. When Daddy got saved, there was a revival going on. Brother David, it was blowing trees down there. The Roman Catholic priest from Dalton, Georgia, came out to the little country church in Tunnel Hill to regather his parishioners. We thought that was something like turnips. We didn't know what he was there for. I'm here to get my parishioners. Sir, we don't like parishioners. Sweet greens. He was there to regather his parishioners. So many of them little Catholics getting saved up there in that revival. This is the story that came from that night with the 400 witnesses. They said that Roman Catholic priest come up here on a Sunday morning, sat on the back, and was going to take names. And here's what they said. Third song, second verse, he hit the altar and he got saved. It's called a mighty wind. There came a mighty wind from heaven. When God saved my daddy, there was a mighty wind. When God saved me, there was one little puff. The Holy Ghost come over and said, and I said, Neeson, I got as saved as anybody did in a Billy Sunday or a D.L. Moody revival. Third point, and I'm done. Y'all doing all right? I know you are. I feel it. It's not the method of your coming. Quit worrying about that. It's not the measure of your conviction. Quit worrying about that. It's not the manner of your conversion. It's not the manner of your conversion. Everybody go to John 3 and John 4. I'm nearly done. John 3, John 4. People getting saved as differently from each other as it could. John 3, there is a religious man. John 4, there is a wicked woman. In John 3, there is a religious man that came to Jesus. In John 4, there is a wicked woman and Jesus went to her. In John 3, a religious man came by night. In John 4, Jesus came by day. Y'all ain't helping me. In John 3, a religious man came with questions. In John 4, Jesus came with answers. In John 3, the man kept all the law perfect and blameless. And in John 4, she broke every law that a woman could. In John 3, Jesus had to give some wind blowing. In John 4, He had to give some water flowing. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but that was cool how that was a flowing blow. Oh, my. And somewhere on Mount Hermon, it was snowing. That's the third verse, Sam, when you write this song. One old man I studied behind said it's the picture of Adam and Eve. Adam was full of his righteousness. Hiding. But Eve was the woman that had failed. Oh, my. When did Nicodemus get saved? You know, a lot of religious people have trouble telling you when. Y'all tell me when Nicodemus got saved. Came to him that night, didn't he? And he's talking to the Lord about how. And what she said to the Lord was, what are you doing with somebody like me? When did Nicodemus get saved, y'all? You don't know. The Bible never tells us. But somewhere between John 3 and 19, something happened. Because in John 19, he shows up at the cross with 100 pounds. 100 pounds of worship for his body. Thing was worth umpteen thousands of dollars in their economy. None of them poor women had that. None of Jesus' preachers had that. Nicodemus showed up in front of the whole city putting his life on the line to bring a worship to the body of Christ after he thought it was all dead and over, and he still showed up. Some of y'all can't show up. You think it's up and going, much less show up when you think it's all over with and done. I'll tell you this. Somewhere between 3 and 19, he got saved. You quit worrying about when he got saved. Some of you church kids quit worrying about the when. You may have come in the middle of the night plumb ashamed, hiding from everybody you know with big questions. We don't need to know when. We just need to have seen you at Calvary with 100 pounds of worship that cost you half of your life savings. Y'all ain't helping me. Well, when did that brother get saved? I don't know, but I seen him over at the cross with all of his worship. Church youngins, quit worrying about the when. That woman, she got saved in the middle of the day and ran back and told the whole town. Every blessed body knew when she got saved. She said, come see a man. She told me all that I ever did. Oh, my. Remind me one night in Knoxville, Tennessee. Downtown, Northside Baptist Church, some of y'all. Well, old Brother Tim used to come around here. Big old tall blonde-headed Tim. And he was in that meeting a lot with Josh Sharp. Over there in the bad, messed up part of town. I'd leave that meeting every night. And them hundreds of druggies living under the overpass of the interstate. I parked out there one time. I got to church early. Meeting broke out for 4 weeks. I got there early and I saw a young man preaching. It was the saddest thing I ever seen. Any of y'all ever been down there in Northside downtown? His scary ghetto. It'd get your killing crackhead ghetto. Get your killing right now in 3 minutes. And I got there early. And Brother Kenneth, I parked just in a gravel lot. Very dangerous all around me. And down in a big old metal shed, run down, rust, by the tracks, there was a boy preaching. He was drugged out. He was a homeless hobo. I seen his little stack of stuff where he lived on the tracks under that rusty shed. And you could tell he was in the worst shape a human can be. And he's all by himself. And he's preaching. Sam, he was just, I was 80 yards, but I rolled down. I got out and sat on my hood and I just wept. That boy preached. Satan got him. He had a call on his life. All by himself. Halfway tweaking. But he's preaching. David, I've never seen anything like it. I wept for a week. Number one, that could have been me. But I wept because it was him. I didn't know him, but God knew him. He had a church somewhere back yonder. He had a pastor back there. He had a life back there. How did he end up there? That night, I say that, and I don't know what night. That meeting, on a particular night, they'd flown in a gal, and I call her the Houston Harlot. This man, probably in his 40s, had a niece in Houston. She'd been gone from Knoxville. She ran away at 16, and he finally relocated her 10 years later. And she was in downtown Houston. And these young ladies are sitting here. I don't even want to talk about what. She was living in the gangs. They owned her. And they were packed. She was eat up with diseases and bruises and bones. They passed her around in the gangs. And this old boy found her finally on Facebook. And he flew to Houston. God had broken out in the meeting. We was in week two. He's a great old, he was 6'4". He's like Big Jim. He was a great old big man. He went down there to get her, and he got her. I don't know who he left behind in his trail, but he got her. And he brought her back. And they sat back there and sat through one night of preaching and brought her back the next night. And when she ran to that altar, I felt I got saved 10 times in one moment. That church began to wail and shout, 40 people on that altar. She screamed them demons out in the Holy Ghost. That girl got so saved, there's enough to save 10 large elephants with that one dose she got. It was so electric, white, hot. I'd go over there and couldn't take it. I'd get it, it'd blow me over here, and I'd shout 20 minutes. I'd go back over and couldn't even touch it. That's how much power. And then that went on a while, and then back here they went, whoa, 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 20 people shouting. And the girl's mom had been deep in sin. She'd come with them that night. She back there getting saved. And a friend of mine, a big old deacon from another place, came walking down, and his daughter with him, about 18. And he said to me, we got over. He whispered. She whispered. I whispered. It's a church kid. He said, she's done this 4 or 5 times. I said, Jesus ain't tired of it. Amen. This one was kept a little hush-hush. It was private issues. What happened with the elder and the prodigal? Prodigal come out of all that deep sin. He got right in front of everybody, and the party was in front of everybody. But that religious older brother had private issues, and his daddy took him out on the front porch. Or he went out on the front porch with him, privately. Y'all know what happened there? Sorry, you ain't going to know. The chapter closed without telling you what that father was. The last time we closed, he was saying, son, everything I have is yours. And then close that door. Everybody's looking for the last next 2,000. You close that door. I'm helping one of mine that's got a lot of issues. Y'all need to quit trying to figure out how somebody else got saved. Did that boy get right? I can tell you one thing. Last thing I heard him saying, son. All that I have is thine. Close the door. This ain't none of y'all's business. And that chapter closes. And that Houston harlot, she got saved in front of the whole city. And Nicodemus, let the Lord do what He does. It's not the manner of your conversion. In the middle of the night. And you know what He gave Nicodemus? John 3:16. Greatest gospel nugget that we've ever had. Was given to the one who didn't even believe it right away. Hey. 2 Timothy 1, and I'm done. I need a pianist, Pastor. Who do you want? Anybody? Brother David, he wanted you to come. Softly play. Would y'all look at 2 Timothy 1? And I believe it's going to be verse 12. It's not the manner of your conversion. Now, Brother Dean, what am I supposed to believe? What am I supposed to trust? You're telling me all these things. How does that verse start, my brother? Read on. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know. Hey, y'all. That's the only kind of salvation we got to know so. For I know. So I need you to look at that verse and let's see. My memory's a little spotty. For I know what I have believed. Oh, it's not what? You don't have to have the what figured out. Okay. Let's try another one. For I know how. You ain't got to figure out the how? You mean the Houston harlot didn't have to be able to write a theological treatise on the what and the how? Y'all ain't helping. I'll throw a chair. Let's try this one. For all the church kids. Trying to get their salvation assurance now. For I know where. Now, Brother Derberry's got a where. My wife's got a where. I don't even want to tell you the first name I heard. The first word, first name. I heard, out of her daddy's mouth when I banged on that screen door to come calling on her. Raised under the shadow of a death penitentiary. A daddy running from God and a mama running from a childhood. And her raised way out yonder in a dark world. Honey, when Jesus came and got her, she's got a where and a when, and you ain't budging her. But my sister, my older sister, is a preacher's daughter. She got 5 whens, 4 wheres. Come at age 5. Come again at age 8. Try to get it at 13. Try to figure out, did I have it at 16? Y'all ain't hooked. Come on, church kids. And at 21, Brother Lamont, she sat down in the hallway of Pensacola Christian College. She said, Lord, I don't care when. I don't care where. I don't care how. I'm just going to trust you and forget all of that. She said, I don't got to know when. I don't got to know where. He said, I'm trusting you from here to there. And if I go to hell, it's because you sent me trusting you. Well, if it's not knowing how and not knowing what, only a few of us got a where and a when. Oh, my daddy's got a bridge and a ditch and a lightning and a pew. But a lot of us, look how pure and holy, sanctified so many of these youngins in here. But do you want to know how hard it is to see that tree when you were born in its branches? Brother Robbie, Brother Joe, what if you was born down in the Grand Canyon? And the whole world come by and said how grand it is. You never even seen it because you grew up in it. Y'all don't be coming around me talking about church kids need to figure it out. If it's not what and how, let's just stick with the King James. For I know, oh my goodness, all you got's Jesus. I was preaching here one night a few years ago. 2 or 3 got saved that night. I was preaching on before and after. And Reggie and Amanda were here. And Amanda got to shouting back here. And her mama got to shouting over here. Sister Bick, you still there? And Sister Bick got to shouting. Adam Langston, our Kansas preacher, he's got that whole night recorded. Me and him listen to it occasionally because he pulls it up and makes me, but I want to. Amen. Bick shouted 30 minutes that night. Whole bunch of us ain't got our whats and hows together and can't get our wheres and whens lined up. So we just stuck with one thing. We've got to trust Christ. Amen. For I know whom I have believed. And He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. If you ever came to Him, just hang on to that because He's been holding on to you ever since. In just a moment, some of you need to... Now I know we ain't got no room, but it'll be all right. Some of you need to get on this altar and thank the Lord for saving you. Amen. Rebuke that spirit of fear and that spirit of fear hath torment. Hold on to that profession. He's been holding on to you ever since. My wife, she ain't never tried to figure out the when and the where. But the how and the what, she didn't even know. My sister was raised with the how and the what. We could tell y'all better than you could tell yourself. But them whens and wheres get all mixed up. Well, I'm glad all he said was whom. I'm trusting Christ. I have Christ. All I have is Christ. Some of you need to go on this altar and thank him. You might have what's and how's and when's and where's, but you ain't got no whom. Come down and find him. He'll save you. He'll save you. He'll save you. You quit hanging on to what's and how's, when's and where's. And he'll be holding you. Some of you ought to get on this altar and thank him. Some of you need to get down here and pray for some that you got a burden for. God will breathe on them with a little puff. God will breathe on them with mighty power. Brother Aaron, you may have a day when you see them 10,000 saved. But as long as every once in a while there's a little pine. There's a Paul in 9, but there's a Lydia in 16. Oh, I was a little single solitary pine. Tell you right now, I couldn't give a rip whether or not it was a revival. He pulled me out of hell. Let's stand, come around.